You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap-Up. I'm Amy here, as always, with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Amy, you've brought me into this dark room and with a metal chair, and you're asking me to tell you my deep, dark secrets. Well, here's my secret, Amy. I'm boring and I have no good secrets. Like, that's why I watch this show, because I need a little adventure.
Need a little fodder. Maybe your secret is that you podcast about the likes of The Bachelorette.
It's like an open secret. I recently started a new job. Mm-hmm. And in the interview, I did mention the podcast, and now, you know, people talk about it sometimes. And uh-huh. I now work with a friend who listens to the podcast. And then when I got to this new job, I learned that this friend, who is a good friend, because she's very supportive of this podcast, like, told everyone to listen to it. So by the time I got to the job, somebody were like, yeah, this person told us to listen to it. So yeah, I'm like, great, amazing.
I don't know how I would feel about that.
I feel fine about it because I love attention.
Must be a cool workplace if they're listening.
It's a great workplace.
Yeah. Yeah, this was an interesting setup for one of the dates. The only real, you know, group date that we got to see. But before we get into that, we missed doing news last week.
Yeah, we did. Okay. But before I get into my hypothetical, let's talk about news.
Yeah. All right. So last week we missed kind of the baby news. So a few babies were born in Bachelor Nation, that at least the ones we know of. So Lauren Bushnell, now Lauren Lane, and Chris Lane had their baby. About a week ago, Dutton, a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ari and Lauren had their twins. And now they've recently revealed the names of the twins. Senna and Lux. So Lux is the boy. The girl is Senna. All right. How would you
Senna James,
Lux Jacob.
Yeah.
How would you rate these names? I don't remember what Dutton's middle name is. Maybe Dutton James.
I really loved the name Senna.
Okay.
Senna James. I think that's cute. Until somebody, I read a thread. I can't remember if it was on Reddit or one of the many Bachelor groups I'm a part of on Facebook. But they mentioned that Senna is a natural laxative.
That did come up when I Googled the name. So I was like, is this a name? Yeah. But yeah, it seems like a... like, it's kind of a shorthand for a drug, for a laxative.
It's a flower. I think maybe their naming convention was after a race car driver. That's something else I read. Oh.
It is on a list of, like, Dutch baby names. So I think, too, like, yeah. His heritage, I think, came into play with Alessi as well.
Yeah. I still love the name Alessi. I think that's so cute. Mm-hmm. And then I have to say way, way, way below is Dutton. Yeah. I just don't find it flows very well.
Dutton Lane. It sounds like a little contrived to, like, make him be a country star. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm very out on the name Lux. Just not for me personally. If that's what you have named your child, I am sorry. My opinion is bad. I watch The Bachelor.
I don't love it, especially for a realtor, because I feel like that's what you describe your listings. Like, oh, this Lux condo.
Yeah.
And so Lux Lyandike, it's like, again, trying to like create that race car name or the realtor name or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think I agree with those ratings as well. But, you know, if we didn't know about Senna before then, I think she'll be okay.
Yeah.
It's not something any, like, elementary kids would know about to be able to tease her about.
I don't think so. Yeah. And it's not even, like, when I think of laxatives, it's not even the top 10 that come to mind for me personally.
Exactly. So we also had a story come out. Rachel Lindsay published an essay in New York Magazine. Mm-hmm. And now that she's like free of her contract, she can go into more details about her experience. Did you get to read that article?
I did. I read it about 40 minutes ago when I remembered I should read this. It was a great article. I expect nothing less of Rachel Lindsay. She continues to be such an important and wonderful voice in a community that has often not shown her the respect she deserves. If you haven't read it, you should. Mm-hmm. Scott, we're going to send this to you to put in the show notes, probably.
We'll try to remember that. But linked on New York Magazine, linked on
Vulture.
Yeah, a lot of different places.
It's a great article. It goes into a lot of stuff. It talks about her experience. I think we've mentioned it on podcasts in the past where the Black people in our communities don't owe us, as white people, anything. They don't owe us lessons. Mm-hmm. When we could be learning them ourselves. But when these people do take the time to teach us something, like it's our duty to take in that information and appreciate it and learn from it and give it the respect it deserves. And I think that piece was fantastic. I think the photos, this is besides the point, but they were so beautiful. And one thing Rachel did mention on her Instagram, on the cover, the headline was "Oops, I blew up The Bachelor," and she was pretty disappointed in that choice because it was not a quote from her. It was not her intention. And that was not her purpose of any of this. And I think that, why don't I just read her statement? Why don't I just do that? That makes way more sense.
Yeah. A lot of times with these, articles, I mean, we hear a lot of when people are saying like, oh, the interviewer misconstrued my quote or things like that. This piece was totally written by her, but the cover of the magazine title was what she took issue with. And those are always written by, you know, people that's their job to get like a clickbait headline. And so they did not have the appropriate context or represent her in the right way with that.
Yeah. So she posted on Instagram, "I worked with New York Magazine very closely on a cover feature where I was given the opportunity to tell my story and share my experience with the Bachelor franchise. It was deeply personal, but I felt it was important to share. While it was a very collaborative experience, they decided to misrepresent me with the headline that was chosen for the cover. Those are not my words, nor are they a reflection of how I feel. In fact, it is in stark contrast to the context of the piece. For me, it was very disappointing and disrespectful that the very notion I was trying to refute was used against me by the publication for a clickbait headline. My truth and my thoughts are told on the inside of the magazine, which I am very proud of, and I hope you all read."
Right. So just ignore that headline. She didn't blow up The Bachelor. They did it to themselves. So, and even just some of like the little things that just kind of confirm these things that we know about production, but a lot of leads will, you know, when they're under contract, they'll be like, oh no, like we totally have control over who we send home and we're not influenced in any way. But just like things like she would say when they specifically would tell her like, no, you can't let another Black man go tonight, or like this, you have to have a one-on-one with this person so we can get this story out. Like she talked about the guy Will on her season who didn't seem like she wanted to even have a one-on-one with, and that they would flat out say things like, we can't even edit that you guys are hitting it off. Like, they would talk about how things would be edited with them. So just kind of really covers so much and was really an interesting read as well. So
also, I think the news came out while we were in our hiatus, and we meant to do like an episode of just Bachelor news that came out while we were on hiatus, but we are lazy. She's coming out with a book next January, yeah. And I, for one, cannot wait to read that. I think this is indicative to what a brilliant communicator she is. Like, mm-hmm. I love her on podcasts. I love her written work. I loved her on all the shows she's been on. I'm really excited to read that book.
Yeah. I mean, if this essay was any indication, because it's going to be a collection of essays. So this felt like something that could come right out of that. So definitely. We got some news last week that we forgot to talk about, too. We talked about David Spade being a host of VIP, but more hosts were named. And then I learned even a little more. So they had released, like, I think 4 celebrities that would be hosts. And then I recently heard on the Ben and Ashley I podcast that they noted that Wells is going to be doing the rose ceremony. So it's kind of confusing, like, who's hosting what. But let's go through these names of celebrities. Yeah. So David Spade is one.
Okay.
And then we have Lance Bass. Let's see, Little John, right?
Excuse me, I did not hear that one.
What's the name? Let me go to the Instagram post. And then it's like a gallery, so you have to swipe through. So they didn't even give it like a good format to grab all the hosts' names. But all right, so it's Tytus Burgess,
great.
Lance Bass, David Spade, and Lil Jon.
I mean, I guess Lil Jon was on a date one time, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was with Becca and Blake with like their... Was that when they were smashing things?
Yeah.
Was Lance ever on? No, there was... what boy band was on?
Backstreet Boys?
That sounds right.
That one? Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, and so that says, throw one back because Wells Adams is joining us for another season of Paradise as Master of Cocktails, Ceremonies, and Our Hearts.
I mean, sure. That sounds reasonable. What the hell is going on here? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to distract us?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if, like, it seems maybe like these hosts, if they're not doing the rose ceremonies, I guess they need a consistent face. And Wells was a name that was brought up as kind of an obvious one early on, just because he's already a feature down there, like a staple, and mm-hmm. has been kind of fallen to the back lately. Like, they haven't used like as many scenes of him. So seems like a good promotion for him. But it's weird that it's announced now. Like, it seemed like something maybe that was... They're filming right now, so maybe it was just like figured out on the fly that, hey,
maybe
David Spade didn't show up tonight, so you've got to do this kind of thing. I don't know.
Oh my God. I don't feel great about this, I don't think.
Yeah, it seems like a weird deviation to have so many hosts now.
Yeah.
Why not just have different couples come in each week and introduce a date or alum or something? So. Yeah, we'll see. I also thought I heard Sarah Hyland was like a host, but otherwise no women have been named as hosts.
Of course not. Why would they?
Yeah.
What's the point of women? Am I right?
So any other news that I'm blanking on? Oh, I think they came out with the figure of Chris Harrison's exit package.
$10 million, sign me up.
Yeah, wasn't quite as high as we said, but
again, hey. I would take $10 if you're willing to PayPal me $10. I'll send you my link. Just kidding, you don't have to PayPal me $10.
And they described it as like 2 years of salary. So then it kind of, okay, so he makes $5 million for hosting.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine making $5 million in 1 year? Can you imagine making $5 million over 5 years? Right. Can you imagine making $5 million over 10 years? Like, truly, all of it is mind blowing to me.
And the fact that he had all these side things going on. Why did he need Manly Bands? Why did he need the romance book? Why did he need Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Just sit and rest. But yeah, so he's doing okay for himself. And then I think it was reported like he really wanted his job back, but it got to the point where just the relationship soured with everyone. And so the lawyer was like quick to like, okay, let's just get, you know, something going to get out of here. Yeah, so that's it. Let's dive into this episode.
Okay, Amy, here's my hypothetical. Yes. Would you rather sit in a room and talk about weird sex stuff?
Okay.
Talk about your deepest, darkest feelings or mud wrestle?
Oh, man. Okay, so you're talking about the date last week.
Yeah, the three group dates we've seen so far.
I really don't want to mud wrestle. I would really get hurt. So, like we've talked about, I think in these other ones where you're sitting there, you can come up with a strategy. Mud wrestling, I would have no strategy. So I think I would probably do the sex one, just kind of make a joke of it. Then sitting in the circle, then mud wrestling. How about you?
Honestly, I guess I'm mud wrestling.
Really?
Ugh, I don't want to, but I also don't want to do the other thing.
I guess you can come up with a strategy for that too. Like, okay, I'm just gonna like let them win and not even put effort in.
Kirsten had a tweet last week that she said her friends don't talk about her enough on their podcast, and I mentioned her on the Top Chef podcast, and I'm gonna mention her here. I don't remember if it was a podcast or I was just talking to her or we were streaming something. But I don't know. They're talking about RHAP podcasters in like Hall Brawl from the challenge. And I think Allie said something about it on her Instagram takeover. And I was like, oh, I wasn't involved in that. Like, nobody said me.
Oh, you're right.
The person was like, Haley. I was like, you're right. I have a bad knee. And she's like, yeah. To justify it, I told everyone you had a bad knee. So it's like, great. Thanks, Kirsten.
Kirsten will be hosting Too Hot to Handle podcast.
Oh, shoot. I have to watch that this week. Thank you.
I haven't started watching it.
Is it up yet?
It's out, isn't it? Is it out today?
Okay. Well, stay tuned because I'm going to be on the fourth episode, I think.
Nice.
Not on the fourth episode of the television. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if I was just holding on to the secret that I was on Too Hot to Handle? Can you imagine me being too hot or unhandled enough to be too? Not a chance. I would be great at that game. I'd be like,
no problem.
I'd be like, can't wait to not make out with anyone. Mm-hmm. What a dream for me to be on vacation. Don't have to touch anyone. And I get paid for it.
Right.
A thrill beyond thrills. Exactly. Anyway, this show. Here's the thing. I'm uncomfortable with this date, A, because it's boring. B, because it feels like a blatant grab to make these guys emotional on television and like really, I don't know, what's the word? Exploit them.
Yeah.
Like their emotions.
Well, and we know, I was trying to think like, okay, what's really forcing them to do it? Like, couldn't they just, you know, not tell their darkest secret, but just say, you know, something that was tough in their life? And we didn't see a lot of their stories. So some of them might have, you know, just done something that they didn't want to air for whatever reason, or they named people that made it so they didn't want to air. The person doesn't, you know, play a role in the end game of this show. But then I thought about, okay, well, Nick's there and he's like, I'm here to hold you accountable. And I'm thinking like, well, in casting, they have to tell all these things. Like, have you ever cheated on someone? So it's kind of like Connor realizing like, okay, I have to tell this story. I think if they told a story in casting, I think they were feeling like, okay, Nick is tied with the producers, that he might prod for something, or they just felt like it might come out if they didn't share something that they knew Katie would want to know. I don't know. I felt like there's maybe something at play there that made them feel like they had to. Other than it just being a date about that.
Yeah. Side note to our darling listeners. Some of the topics we may cover in this episode are uncomfortable and you may not want to hear about. And we respect you for that. So if any of the themes that were touched on in this episode of The Bachelor are not for you, well, then we love you and we'll see you next week or whatever. Yeah. So some of this was really dark. I was very nervous during Connor's story about where that one was going. Yeah, I appreciate them being vulnerable. I wish it didn't feel so forced. I have a lot of respect for Katie for sharing her story when she necessarily didn't need to, or because it's true, so much of her, like, of people amping her up is like how sex positive she is, and she was like, guess what, I wasn't always like this. I had to learn to do this, and this is why. And she told the guys that she had been sexually assaulted, and she for years blamed it on herself. And I have a lot of kudos for her for talking about that, because again, it's a very real thing that happens to so many people, and it's not talked about on The Bachelor often, especially not by the lead. The lead we're presented is usually like shiny and perfect. And for me, Katie has been not that in a good way. Like, she's been very much like, hey, I am a real person. I want a real thing after this. It's not for all the glitz and glamour. And I think it's a story that a lot of people can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It wasn't like, we didn't know where this was going to go, and she felt comfortable and safe with these guys after they revealed their stories. And I agree. I heard her promoting this episode saying, you know, there's something talked about that, you know, hasn't really come up before, and I didn't know what to expect. So I thought it was really moving and just something that she didn't need to do, but I think it could be helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm proud of her. I have a lot of respect for Katie. It's been something, that's for sure, this season.
Yeah. What other stories would you like to touch on from? Should we talk Connor's?
Yeah, let's talk about Connor. His was kind of surprising. He talked about how, you know, he was a working musician and he did a lot of piano bars, and he would drink a lot, and that he kind of developed a little bit of a dependency on that. He became quote unquote not himself. And he treated a lot of people in his life very badly.
Yeah, he said he was very angry, didn't recognize the things that were told back to him of what he said. And then he was in a relationship, and then was like one night, like, instigating a fight with his girlfriend. And I think this is where we're like, okay, where is this going to go?
I was very, very, very nervous of where this was going to go.
Yeah. And then he went to a party and hooked up with someone there, cheated on his girlfriend, and seemed like then he was, I don't know the timeline, but then was very soon regretful, remorseful, and started working on himself, going to therapy, reading self-help books, working on the drinking. And
yeah, he didn't mention if he was sober or not. Again, he doesn't know that to us. Mm-hmm. If he is, great. If he isn't, I hope he's like following a path that works for him. But yeah, I really, really did not expect this from Connor. And I think a lot of the guys in their stories, it was proof to me that they're like real dudes, and like they have grown from what they've gone through or what they have put other people through. Except our one friend, Thomas, who is the absolute king of word soup. Not one sentence he said on this show has made any sense to me whatsoever. He hasn't answered a single question in a straight up manner. Who is this guy and what is he doing here? Oh, just kidding. We know. He told us he wants to be the Bachelor.
Yeah.
He straight up told us.
Yeah, it's funny because it was when Nick introduced the date, like he specifically was like, okay, this is where we have to come clean about, you know, have you ghosted? Have you cheated? Have you plans to be the Bachelor? That's just a weird thing to say, as like that this should be something that would come out in this circle. So obviously that, I don't know if that would have come out in casting, or I bet they asked these guys like, well, if it doesn't work out, you know, or something, like, what do you think would happen? Or, you know, maybe certain guys that they get that potential from.
Yeah.
I think they would have an inkling, but he sort of just rambled on and it was this like non-speak, like sort of like talking in circles about like, we're meant to be here and I believe in chemistry. And then, yeah, I have red flags and you can ask me about anything and I'll tell you, but he didn't actually say anything.
Literally said nothing.
Yeah. So this is starting to rub all the guys the wrong way.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wait, we didn't even talk. Wait.
We jumped ahead of ourselves.
Whoa, let's rewind. Wow, we just totally missed the rose ceremony.
I blame the way they set up these episodes. Because, yeah, the end of the rose ceremony actually happened this episode. And so there was actually another villain earlier in the episode.
Okay, yeah, so we left off with, you know, Katie leaving the room after Carl said, like, hey, this isn't, there's lots of people who aren't here for the right reasons. Oh boy, the boys were mad. They were mad. And then Katie came in and was like, listen, I don't want to talk to you people anymore. Let's just go to the rose ceremony. Halfway through the rose ceremony, one of the many Mikes was like, hey, we talked, like, we as a group talked about it. And what Carl said is not true. We are here for you. Don't listen to him. So then she leaves the room. And I think this is where having Tayshia and Caitlin is really beneficial to both the Bachelorette, the TV show, and the Bachelorette, Katie, the person. Mm-hmm. Because they were very much like, okay, first of all, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. Second of all, do you believe the boys? Do you believe Carl? Like, what is it that you're thinking? And I think she went with her gut, and I think she made the right choice, not just because I despise Carl. But I think you have to listen to the majority here, right?
Well, this is something we definitely haven't seen before. I thought maybe Mike was going to take her away and say, like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And then maybe, like, privately say something.
Yeah.
But just, like, we as a unit, speaking up, because earlier he'd said, like, in the cocktail party, we have to protect our queen. And I'm thinking, if you're one of the guys that isn't there for the right reasons, you're like, yeah, go, Mike. Like, speak for all of us, you know, because she's going to trust him. And so then when he says that, then Katie asks, is this true? Do you guys all agree with this? And then you see, like, a lot of the guys nodding. So she walks away, goes and talks to Caitlin and Tayshia. But I thought they were kind of saying, so Katie said, and I was going to keep Carl. And so they kind of were just saying, well, it's not up to the other guys. So,
yeah.
So basically letting her go either way. Like, she could continue if she trusts Carl, mm-hmm. To keep him. You can't just go with the majority if that's not what you're thinking. But yeah, ultimately she didn't keep him. It went down to the last rose. And then I'm also thinking, you know, they have to decide, you know, the producers have to know, like, where to point the cameras and who's on this list. So she had to make a swap too. So do you think that last rose that went to Aaron was Aaron the one that was going to be cut?
No, I think it was more like the blander dudes.
Yeah. But she called those blander dudes, like, early on.
Yeah, like, Kyle's gone. Like, sorry. Did I almost cry when John left?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I did. John, call me.
Now, I've heard people talk about that. The guys were clapping for John when he left. I thought they were clapping for Katie for sending Carl home.
I thought so, too.
Okay.
But yeah, some people also said, yeah, they just really love John. Okay, Carl's exit. Can we talk about Carl's exit for a hot minute?
So annoying. And why didn't he say anything?
Acknowledge her?
Why didn't he say anything when Mike said that? He just stood there. Why not defend himself?
I don't know.
It's weird because then this later we start talking about Thomas and we're like, oh, was Carl onto something here? was he just, you know, like, predicting something and happened to be right? But yeah, this was such a rude exit. I mean, we've seen rude exits before, but what was that?
It was condescending.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, didn't even acknowledge, like, I don't know, but she also, like, didn't look at him, which was funny.
But he, like, walked up, but then put his back to her.
Yeah.
Stood there a while.
Yeah.
And then left.
Not for me, thank you.
No. Should be interesting if he's down in paradise. Because
don't remind me, Amy, why would you do this to me? Yes.
These are the people that they love to cast, and they're filming right now, so nobody knows, like, kind of the edit or anything.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, yeah, I think that was the right move of Katie, though, right?
I definitely think so.
We didn't need any more. I think we saw what we needed to out of Carl. So, yeah, we resume the rose ceremony. She calls. Did you know there was someone named David on the show?
Oomst.
How about Hunter? We did get more of this coming episode. Connor C is still there. She calls him. Mike P, that's the one who made the comment. She comes back and calls Michael, the other Michael, Connor B, the cat, Courtney, Trey. Trey was really riled up about Carl. He was like, had a lot of, like, in the moment, like, you better not be here. You're going to wish you weren't. Justin's been getting a lot of attention for facial expressions. So, with Thomas and Carl. Andrew M. He's still there. Don't know who he is.
Is Andrew M hot Andrew?
No, isn't that Andrew S? The hot Andrew already had the rose. So we had Greg, Andrew, and Thomas already had roses. Christian, Josh, also another, who's that? A lot of people making it to week four without, we have no clue who they are. Brendan, I only really know because he's the Canadian. Then James and Aaron. So we said goodbye to Kyle, the redhead Garrett, John, and Carl. Yeah, I think they were clapping for her because then Hunter, I have in my notes that he said something like, she cleaned house just like she did last week. That's my girl. So I think they all just felt like, oh yeah, she trusts us. And yeah, she's doing the right thing. All right. So yeah, the group date was Aaron, Courtney, Connor, B, James, Thomas, Hunter, Brendan, David, and Justin. So interesting to kind of see who was chosen to go on this date because you think you would select people that you're curious about or think they might have something to hide. But I'm kind of surprised we didn't get a lot of airtime for other people's stories. It seemed to kind of focus on Hunter. And then Connor, obviously, and Thomas. We saw a little bit of Aaron, but other than that.
I feel like Aaron had his peak last week when I liked him for about 15 minutes.
Right.
I'm done again.
Yeah. We learned about Hunter that he was divorced and kind of he has two kids and he feels a lot of guilt over his failed marriage and that he just didn't prioritize it. So it's kind of a narrative that we don't typically hear from the guys that come on with a past marriage. So Katie really seemed to appreciate his story as well, which could give, you know, red flags for a different lead. So I like that she at least seemed to be, you know, this was the type of date that she wanted, whether or not it's something we would want to watch or participate in is another story. Yeah, I don't really have any other stories that we saw too much of. It was kind of like, oh, I stayed together too long with a girlfriend kind of thing or something. Anything else you want to say about this first portion of the date before we get to the social cocktail portion?
I don't think so.
Yeah. What was Nick there for?
I mean, great question.
I thought we'd see more like Nick one-on-one with Katie. None of that. It was a little weird.
Nothing, no.
How many guys knew who Nick was, do you think?
I'm going to set the over-under at 3.5.
Okay. There's definitely at least one. I'm going to peg that Hunter is the super fan. It seemed like he knew more of Nick's story.
Yeah.
So maybe Courtney as well. Seemed to know who he was, but... let's see. Then... second part is where we see this kind of emerge with Thomas. Like all the guys have someone new to focus on. And I guess what it was is that the one thing he did say that you could pull from his speech in the round table in the circle was that when he didn't come on for Katie, he came on because, oh, it could be a good platform and didn't know what to expect. But now that he's here, he's in it. So the fact that he mentioned his reasons for coming on sort of like lit the fire with everyone.
Yeah. And I really don't think he's the only one who kind of felt like that.
But he's the only one that admitted it right now.
Yeah.
So they just came off of like acting like they're all there for the right reasons, except for Carl. Carl's gone. And now they hear this from Thomas. So. Yeah. I don't think he's wrong for saying it, but maybe just his delivery on everything else was concerning. So he gets his one-on-one time with Katie and she calls him out on, okay, so you mentioned that you have, like, you're an open book, that there's some red flags that you're willing to talk about. What are they?
And he doesn't say anything. He truly, there is not one syllable that came out of his mouth that was like, yes, this is correct.
Right. I mean, I really can't even describe how he was answering her. It was, again, talking in circles and really, like, lovey-dovey things. But he seemed a little caught off guard. They didn't, like, make out at the end of that talk. I think he knew that it wasn't going over super well, because she'd be like, okay, but what, something specific? Like, she really, like, he was like, well, you can ask me anything. She goes, but I don't really know what to ask if I don't know what the context is of these red flags. So,
yeah,
I did like that she didn't totally accept these answers, but if he's just gonna give these kind of answers, you can't, what else can you do?
Yeah, really.
So then Thomas leaves that conversation not feeling great about it and said, like, oh, I don't get rattled. Why did I get so rattled? I have to go back and talk to her. So then she's talking to Aaron. Aaron's talking about his dad having a stroke, which is something I think he touched on in the circle that they were talking about, like a relationship that he had at the time with someone else that was going through something similar. So he's getting into a serious conversation, and Thomas is in the back, like, pacing back and forth.
Like, pacing.
Yeah.
Like, in a creepy way.
Right. So.
And then later he was like, well, the opportunity presented itself. It's like, no, it truly did not. It was doing the opposite of that.
Right. So Aaron even calls out to Katie, like, oh, I'm a little distracted. She's like, same. So, and then he approaches and says, well, I just have something I have to share with her. So I thought, here's Thomas. He's finally getting a clue. He's going to come back and be like, okay, I realize I didn't answer your question that might have left you feeling unsettled. So here I am to, like, here's a couple of my red flags. That's not what he did.
Mm-mm, not even close.
No. He decides to talk about fear, and fear and love are, you know, two sides of the same coin kind of thing. And you can't have fear without love. And I don't want to say, like, a certain L word, but, like, I am feeling really fearful. So is this the new I'm falling? First you're saying, like, I'm fearful. I guess he started a new trend.
It's embarrassing and I'm mad.
Yeah. So I think we have a new motivational speaker as well in the house. I don't remember what his job was, but it feels a little bit like what Carl was up to as well. Just kind of like manipulative conversation. Like, it just seemed strange.
Yeah.
And then... But then they make out, so she seems like to be okay with it. But he was even saying, like, where should we live when this is all done? Like it's going to be you and I kind of thing. So it's a lot for week three.
Yeah, and she was like, you could tell she was uncomfortable because she was like, that's to be determined.
Yeah, it's not the right type of date and scenario for this. And especially if you were feeling uncertain from the last conversation, like, I don't know, maybe look into why she was feeling that way. Instead, it was like, oh, I was feeling rattled, so that must mean I'm afraid. That must mean I'm in love. It's just a lot of leaps here for week three. And they haven't had a one-on-one date. So not that we haven't seen this before with dropping the falling in love early on, but very strange. So then he goes back to the guys, but Aaron has already come back and says, okay, I was interrupted. He said he had something important to say. He's in there talking to her right now. And then when they find out, Thomas actually tells them, yeah, I told her I was falling in love with her, which I don't think he actually said.
No, I guess he didn't really, but it was still a little much.
So then that got all the guys upset, like, oh, you're playing with her feelings. And he even has the audacity to tell. So Aaron's like, so you're saying, you know, I thought you were going to say something really deep, really important. And you think your time is more important than mine? And he says, yeah, I do.
Oh, my God. I mean, at least he's honest, right? Yeah.
And then Aaron's like, well, you're really disrespecting me right now. I can't believe this. Like, please, like, don't pretend I don't exist. I want nothing to do with you. Then he says something like, I'm sorry that this is just something you're never going to understand, like falling in love or something. Like, you will never comprehend this. So he's just adding insult to injury there. But yeah, all the guys have a new common enemy. And Yeah, I think maybe the viewers as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm ready for him to be my enemy too, I think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which way this goes. So when is it that they kind of all confront him? It's back at the house, right? They start comparing stories. And they hear, like, some guys are saying that, well, he told me he said this, and he told, that's different than when he said he was falling in love with her. So, and then it's Hunter that speaks up this time for the group. And they all sort of call him out back at the house when they're waiting around for something. Mm-hmm. And, like, we don't trust you, and trying to make him, like, kind of peppering him with questions. And it's at some point in these questions that, like, they flat out ask, like, did you say you want to be the bachelor? And he's like, yeah, it was something that crossed my mind.
What do you like, appreciate the honesty? Do you think it's malarkey? What do you got?
I mean, this seemed a bit much from the other men to, like, why they need to. I don't like when it becomes this whole, like, manhunt, like, to the next character. Like, they have to, all these guys are like, okay, this, we're the right reasons, please.
Yeah. And
so it seemed a little bit like, maybe just let Katie figure that out. Cause he already mentioned that to her. So that's something that she can, that he was coming for a platform initially. So she could kind of, mm-hmm. like, delve into that a little more. It is honest, though, because I'm sure, like, most of those guys have thought about that. Like,
yeah, oh, for sure.
Hey, like, if it doesn't work out, maybe I'll go far and maybe something will come of this.
So. Yeah, like, and that's where I almost can't even fault him, because if you're a realist, you're going on to the show, and any reality show, being like, what's the chance that what's the percentage I'm going to win this? Like, pretty low. Mm-hmm. So what's the benefit of me going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they could ask, like, have you thought about going on Bachelor in Paradise? I mean, that's a really high percentage that you could, you know, have that chance.
Yeah, so, true.
Like, could that be the new thing? That's like, okay, your thoughts are going to go to all these different scenarios. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to think about going home the first night, too.
Yeah, so. And that's where I almost can't blame them, where it's mm-hmm. like, well, have you thought about being the bachelor? It's like, I mean, I've thought about a lot of things. I have anxiety. Like, all I do is think about things.
Yeah, it's different to be like, did you come on to be the bachelor?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where this was, kind of the cliffhanger that it ended on. So we can come back to, like, what we think will happen next week, but let's talk about the other date that we did see, which was a one-on-one for Michael A. So this was, like, it was one of the ones who didn't get a date. And I don't know, I wasn't, like, clamoring for him to get the one-on-one, but they had a cute connection and before this, and I was really pleasantly surprised by, like, the depth of where it went, and it was a really sad story. Wasn't expecting that. We just knew that he was
a dad.
Yeah. So we didn't know the backstory.
I feel like I'm in the same boat, is that I was not totally sure how to take Michael. I don't know. I just wasn't sure. And now I'm a sucker. I'm sold.
Yeah. So he basically married his college sweetheart, met her in 2003, I think he said, or they were together for 16 years. And they got married and had a son. And then when the son was 7 months old, his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer and she died 2 years ago. So probably when her son was about two. Really, really terrible and heartbreaking. So he shared the story with Katie. Thank God he wasn't in that date where he was in the circle.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm a little surprised.
Yeah. Well, and I also was a little surprised too, because we did see him telling the story to a couple of the guys, like back at the house, just kind of prepping us for it, I guess. And I thought, oh, like, is he going to get cut really soon and he won't even tell Katie? And that's just like, they're just like using that story when he's talking to the guys about it. So, yeah, he mentions it to Katie, and I love how they're able to connect about it. She wasn't like thrown off by it.
And she wasn't intimidated. And I think that, I feel like we don't talk a lot about like grief in this show. And so far this season, as long as all parties are consenting and talking about this grief, I think they've done a decently good job at presenting that. And I love the way that Michael said that, how lucky is he that he gets to like fall in love like that twice. And I think she was really moved by that. And I think Katie's strong enough and level-headed enough. And I think Michael is a good enough partner where you would never doubt that. You would never compare it. And she left that date being like, if we got as far as being in love, our love would be completely unique. And that doesn't take away from their love story, nor does their love story take away from our love story.
Right. Yeah, I think from, you could just tell that he was in the right place. Like, it was just so honest, and that like he knew it would be hard, but he's doing really it for his son. Like, his son deserves to see his dad happy, and like for him to like be the best dad he can be is to like have that back in his life. And like, it's not a replacement or anything, but he's just kind of honoring her legacy, but also like not giving up on himself. And I also liked how he like, he has this perspective on marriage too. So when he talked about, he just had all these really good quotes, like, and she really liked them as well, like where he said, like, you talk about how this ends in an engagement, but really it begins in an engagement. She was just like, oh, I love that, you know. And yeah, you just see that he knows, you know.
Yeah, we've never seen it from that perspective.
Yeah, you can tell he's there for the right reasons. He's there to explore a new relationship and get himself back out there and, you know, see if he can like feel those feelings again. Because he also said, like, that was the only person he said I love you to before. So just like, that was his only real serious relationship, and it was so much of his life. And Katie talks about like, she knows the weight of the roses that she gives him, because it's also extending the rose to James, his son. So he felt, could tell that Michael was really moved by that. And then at the end of the episode, we saw like a really funny scene with them. So it wasn't all like, their only connection is on these like really serious, like heavy topics that they were able to joke around.
Yeah. Like, he was able to kind of make fun of her when she deserved it a bit. Like, you know, she was like, is this O'Brien's belt? And he's like, no, it's not an Irishman. Like,
yeah, exactly. So yeah, he's definitely quick-witted too. And, so a great addition to the cast, I think. So,
oh, definitely. I'm buying him more than I was the week before.
But he did, this is the second week in a row where he asked permission for the kiss. So I feel like it's a really a bad move when you've already asked permission once and you've already kissed. I don't think you need to ask permission again, but hey, consent is good. But I think they're at that point where,
did you like her answer?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, get over here. Like, I think she's over it. She's like, hey, like, you're good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very cute. And then, let's see, anything else that I'm not thinking of? I know we're all over the place in terms of order of this episode, but
I'm pretty disappointed that we are playing games with the episodes.
Like, the to be continued. Yeah, I think that's par for the course this time around.
We do get a question about it.
Okay,
so I won't ruin that, but
let's go to that. And did we get our updated draft as well?
We did. Thank you, George CTV. What would we do without you? Honestly, we would not draft.
That's true. It just would not exist.
No.
Let me pull that up. Here we go. All right. So the results are in. Amy has the lead with 53 points and 7 draft picks left, including new frontrunner Michael. I didn't even know I had Michael on my team.
What a thrill it always is. Exciting.
Yeah, so I got those points. Haley is second with 42 points, dropping to 7 left after Kyle was sent home. Kyle, we never knew ya. And Brian has 37 points, losing 3 more, only 4 left. So Brian still has David was his first pick, but I feel like David has so little airtime.
Yeah,
but Brian has Greg. And Greg was the one who went to her after, like, when she was really upset. Mm-hmm. He's yeah. And yes, Hunter.
And he said he was embarrassed, but I'm holding firm on my theory that I think Brian has just felt bad for me for many years of my terrible drafting. So he's just like purposely tanking.
That's something. Yeah, he can run with that story too if he wants to.
Right. Like, he's just such a nice guy that I feel like he would do anything to make me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
Including take his own game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just my theory.
He says.
Just my theory here.
George says, it's not easy to fall behind both Haley and Amy in these drafts. Consider it an accomplishment.
First of all, rude. We try.
Yeah. Let's see. So... yeah, we also got some interesting more info from Noelle Lynn on Twitter, saying over 10% of New Mexico's population is Native American, and the Hyatt Regency Tamaya is located within the boundaries of Tamaya Reservation, and it is owned and operated by the reservation. It was closed most of 2020 due to COVID, so that might be why the menu was reportedly limited. So, yeah, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that. They just haven't been able to stock up. But I thought we should have seen more of that. Like, they haven't given any acknowledgement to that.
Well, yeah, because then Sarah Knorr replied, like, would have loved to, for production to have given any kind of recognition to the land they were filming on. And I totally agree with that. I think it would have been interesting. It would have just been a good opportunity to, I don't even know. It just would have been a good opportunity to help people learn about one of the many indigenous cultures.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So let's hope that at least one of the dates will.
And like not in like a, like not like in a tacky way. Right. Like, I don't want the, you know, I don't want it to be like exploitive or anything, which, I mean, that's like asking the Bachelor to not put their shoes on like toes first, like all they know how to do.
Right. So let's just jump into more questions. We did get one on Twitter as well. A Dang Mary Kill from Jocely on Twitter. Jocelyn, she says, Dig Mary Kill Aaron, Thomas, and Carl, and no, you can't kill them all.
Aaron, Thomas, and Carl. Sorry, I have to kill Carl. He drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. I think I would marry Aaron because I think maybe he does have good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I would ding
least red flags.
Yeah. Josh? Thomas.
Thomas, but a lot of people have compared him to Josh Murray.
Oh.
So
Thomas, I would ding because he's fairly pretty. Yeah.
I think that's the right answer. All right. More listener questions. Pulling these up. If you have a long form question, Haley, where can people send those?
BachelorWrapUp@gmail.com.
All right, so here's a long form one from George. Hi, ladies. So Carl was the villain and got sent home. Then everyone said maybe Carl knew what he was talking about after all when Thomas confessed to coming on the show for not right reasons. Was Carl actually wise to Thomas and just didn't call him out, or was Carl clueless about Thomas? All right, let's start there.
Why can't it be both?
Yeah, I don't think he was. I think he was playing the odds. I think Carl was like, I'm not here for the right reason, so obviously I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just waiting, you know, for someone to come forward and sort of acting like he knew, like, overheard something or something. And then he says, okay, more serious question and comment here. An idea I tossed out to my wife after last week's show with Katie and Greg bonding over sharing about the loss of their fathers. Perhaps one aspect of people going on the show and falling in love is more that they are 20 and 30 somethings who have emotional trauma they have never dealt with in their life. They go on the show, isolate from the world, and open up to someone about personal topics in their life and end up confusing the emotions of therapy with emotional love. Also, this week, after seeing the guys and Katie on the group date all bonding over their shared stories, I question if that will put them in a better position than the guys who were back at the resort and left out of the group date. I was wondering how or when Katie's story would be shared with the second group of guys. Thanks, as always, for a great podcast.
That last point is very interesting, something I didn't think of. We're going to have to keep an eye on that.
Right, because it's not their story to tell to come back like, oh, this was revealed at the date. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, they know something more about her. She kind of trusts them more, depending on what they were able to share.
Yeah.
And open up. And then the point too about confusing the feelings with love, I think that happens a lot. I think I've heard Caitlin Bristow talk about that, like on Chris Soul season. Like once you're in that bachelor bubble, you're just like, you think you're in love and you are, like, it's kind of like therapy, but you're not with trained therapists, so that's...
Or you can do what I did, which was find a dude with very little trauma to balance out your significant amount of trauma, and he doesn't know how to deal with it well. And I go, let's talk about these, like, traumatic things. And he's like, Haley, I don't have the time for that right now. Marriage is fun, guys. Have you ever tried it? You know, I tweeted this, but we've found a new game this week.
Oh, yeah.
So last week we got our house painted. So a couple weeks before that, the painter dropped this huge book of paint swatches off at our house. Okay. So what we've been doing is Ethan will read a color off the index and we have to guess what color it is. And then we find the swatch in the book and see if we're right.
Oh, wow. This seems like an early quarantine game.
It does. It does, doesn't it? But, you know, all things just come back around, don't they?
Yeah. This is our new lifestyle now. So,
like, yeah.
What games can we survive off of? Do you ever propose alternative names if you don't agree with the color name?
No. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Expansion pack.
He also talks about, like, playing that game on Twitch one day. Like, can you imagine? Like, you have nothing better to do except watch us guess paint colors.
Right. It's better than watching paint dry.
That's true.
It's one step above that, for sure. All right, next question. Justin Feinberg, why is the show so much better at casting and or producing men than it is women? How is it by episode 3 of The Bachelorette? We get all these deep, complex stories of these men, but on The Bachelor, we are treated to pointless fights between women about champagne or a bullying storyline dominating the entire episode. Is it the cast of women being on average younger than the cast of men? Is it producers encouraging the women to get into petty fights more while they encourage men to open up and share their feelings and backstories more? Is it selective editing that highlights fights on The Bachelor but highlights openness on The Bachelorette? Some combination of the three? As heavy as this episode was at times, it was a world of difference between the third episode of Peter's season and the third episode of Matt James' season. Great.
I have a theory.
Okay.
And this is pretty out there, so I'm not sure if you're going to agree with it.
Okay.
Sexism. Just plain old run-of-the-mill sexism.
That is really out there.
I think we expect women to be cattier. And when they open up and share things, like, we're like, eh, they're just being emotional.
Yeah, like, oh.
Where when these guys are, like, sharing their emotions, we're like, oh, a guy who would willingly hug another man, how sexy. Right. Oh, I love a man that can tell us one thing every 3 years about himself.
Exactly.
I do think, Justin, that, you know, all of the points you made in that, yes, I think they are younger. I think the producers are encouraging that. But I just also think that they're presenting those stories to us. Like, we want to see the camaraderie with the men and the women. But and it's funny, Ethan said to me the other day, he's like, I much prefer watching The Bachelorette because the men are just chill and they're here to have a good time. And I like the way that they interact with each other. So it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's the patriarchy, man. And that's all it is, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other things, but they're all attached to the patriarchy. I was going to say, don't at me to people who don't agree with that. But like, again, people have given up on us 6 years ago if they don't like our shtick.
Very true.
We do have that benefit over everyone else on the RGP network.
That is true. Benefit of being here since the beginning of perhaps
the grandmothers. The very beginning.
All right. The next question is from Jeremy Hamilton. Even though production reportedly wrapped early this season, are they still trying to squeeze out the normal number of episodes by stretching out the content they do have? It's wild that we didn't even get to the second group date this episode.
That's exactly what's happening, and I'm annoyed.
That is so true.
Put a recap episode somewhere in there if you're really desperate for an extra app.
Yeah.
We'd still cover it. We'd be truly angry about it, but we would.
Right.
No, we wouldn't. Would we? Maybe. We probably would.
Yeah. Who are we kidding?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jeremy Hamilton also wants to know, which guy do you think got Carl's rose since Katie said she planned to give him one? If she just cut him without adding anyone else back in, they would have had an extra rose on the tray, right?
Okay,
right.
I've decided.
Okay.
It's Garrett.
But he didn't get one.
Oh, never mind then.
I think it's Connor C.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, because usually they make a big point of like taking a rose away, and that would have been very dramatic.
Yeah. They should have done that.
Christy Nick, is it possible that having two previous bachelorettes heavily involved in filming is helping to prevent ongoing antics from bad seed contestants like Carl and the others Katie has quickly let go? Seems like production usually requires that these guys be kept around, but Katie has been kicking them out immediately. I wonder if more of a female perspective from women who have been through this before is changing the culture within production. It's a welcome change and eliminates the monotony of the same conflict being dealt with again and again.
Well, I also think it's probably a product of Katie being Katie, and she's a little bit older than our last couple of bachelorettes. I think she's a little more comfortable in what she wants and what she needs and what she's here for. And she's not getting swept up in things as much.
Right. Yeah, I think. It's all good things. We don't need to see, you know, another week of Cody, another week of Carl, and maybe Thomas is the next one on the chopping block. But I think it's easy when, like, you're like, okay, this guy's stirring up drama and he's not like my final four, you know, but if she like really likes Thomas, so.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like super into Thomas.
Kristen Zook Am I the only one worried that Michael A is too good for this world, in parentheses, franchise? They're definitely going to chew him up and spit him out without a second thought, or make him The Bachelor. There is no middle ground.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable worry. But again, he's like, what, 36? He has a kid. He doesn't really need this. I don't think he's giving up his life at home to go to like Bachelor in Paradise.
Right. No. Jared Silberglied, how much did Katie have to yell at production before they finally let her not give a producer rose to Carl?
I don't know. What do you think? I can't decide if they love the idea of the moment of her doing this more, or like wanting to keep Carl.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's true. I think they like having things that haven't happened before. But it kind of ended with a whimper, you know, came in with a bang, but I think they would have liked to have another week of him annoying the guys on the group dates. And
yeah,
so I don't miss it, but yeah, I think there was some back and forth for sure. Maybe that's, you know, how we heard these rumors like Katie was difficult or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, wow. A woman standing up for what she wants, being labeled as difficult. A unique perspective.
Actually keeping the guys that aren't interesting airtime, but that she might see potential with.
What? On this show? Hey, does she know who I am?
I know. It worked for Desiree. Like, yeah. Chris was, like, not the exciting one, but they're happily married, so. Mm-hmm. Oh, next week is when Blake arrives.
Oh, I forgot this was happening.
Yes, me too,
Do you think Tayshia made them give her an extra $1,200 to have the conversation with Katie? Like, somebody from my past is here.
He reached out to me. Yeah, is this gonna be awkward?
Yeah, of course it's gonna be awkward.
I mean, he was really into Tayshia, but I don't think she was ever really considering him.
That's true.
So I don't know. I'm excited for something new. something to rattle Thomas and these other guys a little more.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be super excited, like, ooh, Blake, like, but you know. Maybe he's Katie's type. He likes Maybe. Adventure, right?
Theoretically, like, I don't know. He likes traveling in between the United States and Canada in a pandemic.
He likes animals.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah. Looks like he doesn't have like a gimmicky entrance. It's just like, it's more like, ooh, like,
I'm here.
Like, yeah.
Although, didn't we see him do the say anything thing?
Oh, yeah. They didn't show it this time, though.
No, they didn't.
So, is that his entrance, or is that going to be, like, later this season? Like, ooh, and then he, like, goes up to her room. Maybe.
Hard to say.
So many things. All right. Well, something to look forward to for next week. Do you have any takes from Doug for this episode, or has he given up on this?
No. Doug is here. Although, I didn't get Chappelle takes this week yet. We got some last week.
Oh.
Maybe I should. Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to read Chappelle takes and Doug takes.
Chappelle's still watching?
I mean, he was Maybe. As of last week. Right. I don't think he's read this. He hasn't watched. So I'll start with Chappelle's.
Okay.
Let me see if I can. Let me see if I can find them. He said, watching The Bachelorette, knowing I was completely right about Carl, my mind. Like greater than signs. This is Chappelle.
Okay.
Let's get Mike, the gym owner, out of here. Oh shit, Katie is sex positive. What? How will she get married? How is anyone gonna love her just for her? Why are we just now finding out this very important tidbit of information? Oh no, a sex challenge in front of sexless Mike. So this is our next Bachelor, right? Chappelle, how darest you put that in the universe? Ugh. He's got a lot of tweets, actually. I'm not reading all of these. I have personally read all of them, but I don't want to spoil the magic. Follow at Chappelle's show_ on Twitter if he eventually tweets more about The Bachelor. Okay. Anyway, Doug, I missed the first hour of the show. Coming back from surfing, it still seemed like nothing happened. A literal tumbleweed was blowing across the screen when I turned it on. Is this the pace? Is the pace going to pick up at all, or is there just nothing to do? I mean, they've been relying very heavily on the tumbleweed this season so far, three episodes in.
Yeah.
Do you like this tumbleweed better or the cartoon tumbleweed? Did you think tumbleweed was real?
Yeah.
I like theoretically knew it was real, but I don't know if I've ever like seen it in action.
Right.
I was very excited to see how much Katie liked Michael. Who would have thought she'd be super into a guy who awkwardly grabbed her butt awkwardly, asked to kiss her, and referred to her as his pen pal. But seriously, he seems way too good for the show.
When was the pen pal part?
I don't remember that. Someone tweet us that. What's more inflated, Aaron's opinion of himself, Thomas's ability to bend the truth, or Blake's head? Thomas's ability to bend the truth is just outrageous to me. Makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Is Connor B some sort of alien that only gets energy by grasping the head of someone he's kissing? It looks like he's trying to steal her soul.
Yeah, those are not fun to watch.
Your choices for cab driver are Katie, Matt James, or a self-driving car. Where do you put your trust?
Ooh.
I mean, I, like Katie, have rolled a vehicle before, so it was horrific. That's some of that trauma I was talking about earlier. Yeah. And he said, can't wait to listen. And he said, please bring back the guest who does all the research on the resorts. Mm-hmm. That's our friend Emily. And, oh, and Mari. She's great, too.
We've had so many great guests. Yeah.
I mean, we've really lucked out. I mean, by that, I mean the class of 2020. It's just been obviously home runs.
Yeah.
That's why they got 2020. And speaking of that, also on the Rehab Ups, actually, I think it's main feed. Listen to the Black Voices of RHAP. It was a really insightful, wonderful podcast. Again, like I said earlier, we are not owed this, but we owe the Black podcasters of RJP a listen to that podcast, because their perspective on reality TV and the podcasting landscape and RJP is really important. These are people who bring so much value to what we're doing. I'm so excited to have so many amazing people on our podcasting team. It's an absolute thrill.
Yeah, it's so true. It was really a great listen and really shows the wealth of talent that we have as well.
Yeah, just so many brilliant storytellers, engaging hosts, just a lot of people to be really excited about, and a lot of perspectives that I think have been absolutely necessary for so long.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, Amy, what else are you up to lately? Anything?
Not much. Yeah. You know, you can find me at RJP Recapper. Let's do it out of order this time. On Twitter. I'll let you know if I'm up to anything new.
Yeah, I don't.
How about you?
Just podcasting about Top Chef. Having a nice time doing that. That season's coming to an end rapidly, and I'm upset.
Oh.
I love Top Chef. Ethan and I, you know what we started watching today? It was Ethan's choice. Survivor Cook Islands.
Okay. You're not going in order of the countdown on RGB.
I'm not. No. I'm just following the whims of my current husband. And, you know, he's having a nice time. I really want to watch. There's a show, and I think you would like it. I haven't watched it yet, so I can only assume.
Okay.
It's called Starstruck. Featuring Rose Matafeo, who I love deeply from her time on Taskmaster. Again, if you haven't seen Taskmaster, you should watch Taskmaster. It's all on YouTube. Anyway, it's on HBO Max or Crave in Canada, and it's about it's kind of like reverse Notting Hill.
Ooh, I'm put that on my list.
Yeah, so I think I haven't watched it yet, but I very much think I will like it. I very much think you will like it. I very much think our listeners will like it. Nice. Oh yeah, my Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. You guys know that by now.
And that's the upcoming Too Hot to Handle podcast, right?
Yeah. Please keep reminding me, because I'm going to forget. I have to record that. It's not anything to do with the lovely Kirsten McInnes. It's that my brain is soup. And I can't remember what day it is.
No, like, remember a year ago, it was like, all we had to go on was like, okay, what new TV show is there that I can, you know, schedule into my day? Like, what can I work around?
So, I'm going to have to watch 4 episodes before Friday.
Totally doable.
I can do it. That's, that's not that hard.
I'm excited to see. I don't know. I'm excited to see, though, like, how... like how they get these people. Do they know what they're, what show they're going on? You know, like when it's the second season of, now the concept has been out there, you know, like what
it comes out tomorrow. Good news. Oh, okay. Comes out tomorrow. Yeah. I also wondered that, it's kind of like X on the Beach, where it's like the first time they did it, it's like, oh my God, this is wild. But the second time it's like, okay, we know what's going on here. Right. I don't know. Maybe they think it's a completely different show.
Yeah. Maybe they have to just bait and switch.
I do love the way Netflix will have these reality series and bring people from all over the world. They did it with that other show that I really enjoyed. The fashion one.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? Oh, I don't know. I don't remember anymore. It's not making the cut.
Was it Next in Fashion?
Yes, yes, Next in Fashion. Oh, that's also a great series. If you haven't watched that yet, watch it. Have a great time. I'm only here for uplifting television the rest of the week.
That sounds good.
Anyway, that's it, I think.
All right. Well, as always, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back to talk all things Bachelorette and Blake's arrival next week. Bye.
Oh.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.